2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Rivals has arrived. Brought to you by Utah Eye Centers. And we're talking about nothing else but Super Bowl
week, man. There's nothing like it.
Nothing like it. We're going to talk now about some of the most iconic plays in Super Bowl history. And they have been amazing. Some of them truly remarkable plays. And then when we're done with that, we're going to tell you who's going to win the game.
Yeah.
And it's going to be a surprise.
And I'm always
right.
It'll
be a shocker. Well, Jason's always right.
It's going to be the best football game ever, and it's going to be 0-0.
Yeah.
It's going to be the most awesome defensive
can't wait
game
for that one.
Ever.
Oh, wow. That'll be exciting. Not with Tom Brady around. Not with Doug Pedersen. And they're going to – I'll bet it's going to be
a – It should be a thriller.
Okay, so as you think back on your life, what are some of the most memorable, iconic plays in Super Bowl history? I'll give you one right off the bat. I'll bet you won't even think about it. The first Super Bowl, and I can't remember his name, receiver Max
with Green Bay.
With Green Bay. Wasn't supposed to start, so he, of course, went out. And he was probably hungover,
yeah,
in the Super Bowl,
like
and
the old school
guys.
Had
to play. Anyways, Bart Starr throws this pass. He's running a post route, and he reaches back and picks it up. I'll get his name here in a minute. And he reaches back and he catches a pass, and it's kind of the beginning of, and it was a remarkable play. And they talk about how great he was. And no one knew the story, right? Because that he had been out all night. He wasn't expected to play.
Yeah, and they only made like $5,000 a year back then.
Yeah,
but they had off season jobs.
Now I wasn't alive then. I was going to say I wasn't awake then. But I remember. You know, you see some of the old NFL films.
Yeah, I love
NFL
films.
That was one of my early,
one of the great ones.
Yeah.
You know, I think one of my earliest memories is that muffed punt on the Super Bowl against Miami and the Redskins.
The field goal
that ended up getting, you know, the ball's getting tossed around and he ends up taking it, trying to throw it. And it runs back for a touchdown. I mean, that was probably one of my earliest big play. You know, it was just nuts. You know what? Two of the big plays got the real iconic plays were both the Super Bowls with the Bengals and the 49ers. Both of them. Was it 82?
Was it 82 Super Bowl?
82 Super Bowl, right? In Detroit.
In Detroit.
That goal line stand by San Francisco was just, unbelievable. I think that was iconic. And then of course, sadly, I was on the field. But you'll see me, you know, against San Francisco.
Why do we always get into these iconic plays and you end up in the iconic plays?
Dude, I just had an iconic life.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm on it today, huh? I'm going to just love myself today.
Is there a day you don't love yourself? Is this like just ask is my this wife. Like an exception? It's like yeah, the greatest plays ever in Super. I was a part of all the greatest plays in Super Bowl history.
I was part of that one. When Montana throws to Taylor, I think about it all the time. All the time. And you'll see, you watch the NFL films of it and everything. You'll always see 99 in there. And I don't get to Montana on that play. But earlier in the drive.
So where's the iconic place? Where are the Jason Buckeye? No, let me give you an iconic play.
Oh, you mean when I sacked Jim Kelly in Super Bowl 26? No, that was huge. No, it stopped their momentum from coming back in the game. It was one of the big plays of the half.
But it's like, it's a play that like they replay over and over. Not in your mind. Like in the public.
Oh, iconic. Oh, like when I sacked Troy Aikman in the Sunday Night Football to
Jason,
win
not
that
a
game
Super
against
Bowl.
The 92 Cowboys.
We're
that
not talking
was so
about
good.
The Super Bowl.
Well, you're talking about iconic.
They didn't even care about that game. It was
still
a throwaway.
Today.
It was a throwaway game for the Cowboys. They won the Super Bowl.
Right.
I'm talking about Lynn Swann leaping up in the air.
Love that play. Yes.
And reaching out, literally catching the ball out of bounds.
Yeah.
And having the wherewithal, which I don't know how you have that, to actually stay in bounds on that play.
That was just superhuman. That was one of those great, great plays.
So how is your
time.
Jason Buck sack play even close to that?
Oh, it's because it's a quarterback just getting buried in his face.
I know, but
and
people
it
don't,
stops the drive.
People don't replay that play, Jason. They don't go, wow, I remember. I don't.
Real in-depth football fans replay defensive plays.
They don't. They don't
real,
replay. They don't
people
replay.
That really know the game watch the. I mean, watch the front seven. They should have a screen.
Here's an iconic defensive line play. Leon Lett picking up a fumble, running it in almost to the end zone, and then getting the ball stripped from Don Beebe.
Being a dip
that,
wad.
That's an iconic play. It's an iconic
See,
play.
They need to do a split screen of all football games and just have the front seven on the one side, just focused in on it so people
no
can
will,
see the
no
true
will,
war.
No one will watch that.
And see the battle and all the technique involved.
Just so you know, offensive,
and then have the
defensive
little, the
linemen.
Fun,
it's
nice,
a,
sweet guys over on the other side of the screen.
It's a net zero game. It's a net zero game. They just run
it just
into
determines the outcome of
they
the game.
They just run into each other and they stop. And so it's like, okay, you guys yeah. all do your thing here, and but let us yeah. do all this, the strategic, the precision, the
yeah,
surgery here with all the rest of the team.
It's
you
just
guys,
everybody knows yeah. without the line of scrimmage being taken care of first in every team, you don't win championships.
Well, yeah, but
the line
but,
of scrimmage,
but it's a net
the war but, goes
but that's
on
not
there.
An iconic play. It doesn't become an iconic moment in Super Bowl. Kevin Dyson catching a ball
yeah.
on the 1 yard line and time expires. But the great part about that is Dick Vermeil being mic'd up going, okay, here we go. It's the last play. It's one last play. And I'll give you another defensive line play where Kevin Carter, a defensive lineman, checks himself out of the game on the last play of the game. And Vermeil's going, are you kidding me? You're coming out right now? That was an iconic moment. I mean, if you want to talk about your defensive line and all these, you know, sacking Troy Aikman plays.
Yeah.
Give
they
me,
were wonderful.
Aside from Jason Buck, iconic plays, give me one play that a defensive line. One, other than Leon Lett, because that was an iconic play.
Yeah. That was a,
where was
that was
the
a dummy iconic play.
Here, I'll give you another
I mean,
one.
Go,
Eli Manning, fourth down in like forever. And he's got all these New England Patriots that are hanging all over him. And all they have to do is just sack him, pull him down. And Eli Manning, in like the most elusive guy in
no,
the world.
Not real physical.
Somehow, how he did that, I do not know. But somehow he gets out of that mess and throws a pass from his butthole. That just comes out of nowhere.
Comes out of nowhere.
Nowhere. And the guy catches it, like holding it next to
oh,
his
the
helmet.
One, yeah, I guess his helmet.
David
yes,
Tyree.
Yes, I love
and
that
go,
one.
What? And that,
I love that,
that
one.
Kills a perfect season right there. Yeah. I mean that play
That's
is
right,
so
that,
improbable.
Caught against the helmet.
So improbable.
I love that one.
Now tell me, is your sack against Jim Kelly more iconic than that play right there?
To defensive are linemen people, in the defensive world, yes,
but
it
are
is.
People going to remember that? But fans,
no, because the TV cameras follow the ball. They follow the
like
ball,
they
just
should.
Like you do.
The ball goes in
but
the
end zone.
But if
you've zoned in on the line play that's taken on,
and,
it is such
you,
a chess match, and there's such
a
war.
And if you go and watch it play and watch how every quarterback throws the ball and then just gets murdered.
Oh, I
after
love
he
that.
Throws
See,
the ball,
they need
and
to
no
focus
one sees
on
that
more,
right? No one sees it.
They do. They did feel bad for you, but that's what they need to focus on.
They don't feel bad.
But see, I can't remember all the great defensive plays in Super Bowl history. Not all of them, because you just don't. They don't get the hype in the pub. And I do like those plays.
I'll
you
give
mentioned.
You. I'll give you a great play.
But I think of the other plays.
I'll give you a great defensive play from a defensive lineman slash linebacker. The Arizona Cardinals are driving, and it's right before half, and it looks like they're going to take control of a football game, and Kurt Warner throws an interception to James Harrison.
Yes.
And it's like 98 yards returned for a touchdown.
Great memory on that one. See it right there. That is a great Super Bowl moment.
You're still stuck on Jason Buck sacking Jim Kelly.
Yeah.
And I'm pulling all of these things out.
You're pulling that out because it fits in the same category, just like Lynn Swann. And,
right. But I'm still trying to wrap my brain around, I don't remember you sacking Jim Kelly. I don't even remember it being replayed.
You know what we're going to do? We're going to go over your house before the Super Bowl, and we're going to pull it up.
We're going to pull up Jason Buck highlights.
Yeah.
And we're going to pull up Scott Mitchell highlights.
Yep. We're so different. How do you compare quarterback play to D-line play?
You don't.
You can't even compare them. Yeah. That's why,
is no comparison.
But I have respect for both. I just love line play. I love a game that's 3-0. That San Francisco-Cincinnati Super Bowl 23 is 3-0 at halftime. I thought that was some of the greatest football ever played.
And it's boring.
It's just like,
where are the chicken
but
wings?
But if you break
it's
down
like,
the film.
I would rather watch the commercials than a game like that.
No!
It's like, let's fast forward the game so we can
break
get to
down
the commercials.
The film and watch the,
no,
you're like,
nobody
wait.
Cares about that, Jason.
That guy played
nobody,
that down block from the tight end that perfectly and was able to cross face.
Nobody
and
cares.
And get off the edge and beat the fullback inside and tackle the running back all at the same time.
They realize that games like that turn fans off.
No.
Yes.
People that know football just love that kind of stuff.
And people that watch football and make it popular.
The general fans and make it popular, they follow the ball. Oh, right. There goes the ball.
All right.
But football's really won down in the trenches.
Yeah, whatever.
But no, the one point I wanted to say in all fun, and we were having fun with each other there, is
I was dead serious.
You know what? That last Montana's drive, I want to review it play by play with you. Because I'm telling you that the interception that's dropped before Taylor caught his touchdown. I remember all those plays and the reasons we should have won the Super Bowl, and they make me sick.
Yeah,
right?
You've told me a million times.
I've told you. So we got to watch
told
the film
all our
on
fans
it.
A million times.
When we get on Super Bowl subjects.
You either talk about your sack against Jim Kelly or Tim Crumry. One of those
Timmy. I love Timmy.
Up. All right, we're going to take a break, but when we come back, you're going to hear our Super Bowl predictions. It's a shocker. Rivals is back. Iconic plays in Super Bowl history made by Jason Buck.
Yeah.
We could sit here for hours and talk about all of these.
But see, I could argue
plays.
For a couple, no matter how crazy it might seem, and you can't argue for one because you didn't get to the Super Bowl.
I don't doubt that. I'm not trying to argue for me, but I'm trying to argue for the sake of like memorable plays that people remember.
Yeah,
I know you remember them because you live them, but I'm talking about anyone outside of the Buck immediate family. I'll bet your immediate family doesn't even remember all the plays that you have made.
My mom and dad. No. I was on the field during that Taylor catch, and that was with the
Jason. You were on the field twice more than I was in a Super Bowl.
Oh.
And I think it's wonderful.
It broke my heart though. That play broke my heart.
I would have died.
Oh.
I would have absolutely died. In fact, I think you all lost as soon as Montana got the ball because your coach on the sidelines going, we gave him too much time.
Yeah.
And it's before the drive started. It's like, what do you mean you gave him too much time? Go and beat him.
Go beat him.
Yeah.
A couple of missed coverages, and they made the play. They got a nice punt return on it. It came off one of the longest punts in Super Bowl history. It might have been the longest. Kind of outkicked the coverage. And he made a good return to give him good field position on it, which started the drive. And then we have him third and 20. And we have a missed coverage on that, and Jerry Rice gets a slant when I'm hitting Montana and taking him to the ground. Literally, I thought I had the sack. They won the game, and I'm taking him to the ground, and I'm watching the ball. He's doing the throw, you know, he's falling and throwing it to that slant to Jerry Rice, and I'm watching Jerry Rice catch it and then run 20 yards for a first down because our safety, you know, blew his coverage on the play. You go through those things, and you're like, man, there's a play here, a play there, a play there that you're world champions.
So someone's going to be world champion. And they're going to be those plays that are made and not made.
Yeah, it's going to come down to one or two plays. And like the giant catch against the helmet, you know, you're talking about. It comes down to that.
So who's
going to
make more of those plays and win this year's Super Bowl?
Okay. You want to hear my analytical pick or my emotional pick?
Both.
Look at him. He's rolling his eyes. If you can all watch him rolling his eyes. I'm sorry that defensive linemen tend to get very intellectual.
They didn't have to watch my eyes. They could hear it in my voice. It's like, oh, boy. Both. So when you have a pick, you just pick a team. It's like, pick a team.
Okay.
Go through your emotional.
I'm an emotional underdog.
Go through your emotional. Okay. You're an emotional guy.
An underdog.
What's your emotional pick? Well, Jason, there's only two teams. So if you have an emotional pick, it's going to be one team. If you have an intellectual pick, it's going to be another team. And it's like, you can't do that. You got to pick one or the other.
Yeah.
So are you going with emotion or intellect?
I'm going with the emotion because I want to
win.
That
you do all the time,
the underdog.
Which is good. Right.
That is good. That is me.
Yeah, and you need to be true to you.
And I want to be emotionally attached to the game, right? So I have got, you know, I'm the NFC East, so I've got the NFC East ties. So I'm going to be loyal to the NFC East. And I like the way
– You are the biggest homer in the world. You're a homer. You're a homer.
What? Because the NFC East is the best division in football?
You're a homer.
It's true, though. You can't deny that NFC's won more Super Bowls than any other division
in
football.
Jason, let's just deal in the present.
NFC East.
Let's deal in the present.
Cowboys, Giants, Redskins.
You don't even like the Cowboys.
Cowboys. I don't.
You don't even like the Eagles, and you don't even like the Giants.
No. But it's fun playing in all those cities, man. I love playing in New York.
See, I would not pick for anyone in my division.
Really?
Let them burn and die in rotten hell.
Yeah, that's what I feel about the AFC Central sometimes. That's true. But
So going on emotion,
you know what?
You're going to go with the NFC East, so it has to be the Eagles.
Philadelphia Eagles, man.
All right.
You know, Vaisik Ahima's out there, my buddy, doing the television.
So is it because you like guys? Is it because it's you? Because you played there? What other reason? It's just
no.
Just,
here's what I like about them. Here's what I like about them. I just following them because they just kept winning when I didn't think they would without Wentz. They did it without him, and I was just so impressed with that NFC Championship game. And their Philly's defense, I think they got a defense that's not getting the attention it should get. And they get four-man pressure and get out to quarterback. I think that's going to give Tom Brady fits. So if anybody can beat Tom Brady, it's Philadelphia right now. And I think they got a chance. I think they got a really legitimate chance.
Okay, so I'm going to pick the Philadelphia Eagles. I'm going to pick with you.
What?
I don't want to.
What?
I don't even remotely want to, but I just, and I'll tell you why.
Because over time, because you've come to disrespect my thoughts and my analysis.
I've actually come to just pick against you, just to pick against you, even though it goes against my better judgment.
I was going to pick, I thought I was picking against you, honestly, when I picked
Philly. I know. And I was like,
because if I'm doing points,
intellect.
If somebody hired me to
why
do points
for the sake
in Vegas,
of the show,
I'd pick New England.
You just pick New England, okay? You just for the sake of the show, pick New England.
Okay, all right. I will turn on my analytical analysis mind.
Okay,
and I will pick New England.
Okay,
and I will go with New England against you on Philly. So you got Philly, I've got New England, and I'm going to go with Belichick and his history and his system and Tom Brady and their experience versus that fire and piss and vinegar and a little magic that Philadelphia has going now.
So here's why I pick Philadelphia. I think it's easier for defenses to play great in big games.
Yeah.
Because the energy and emotion of the game and the bigness of it actually plays into being a defensive player.
I agree.
So you can be fired up, and it's a good thing.
And adrenaline is a good thing.
And it's not on offense.
Yeah.
Like most guys that play in their first Super Bowl on offense, they go, you know, my heart was in my throat.
Yeah.
I don't know that my mouth was, you know, wet. It was so dry for like the first two quarters. You know, it's just such a big event.
It's so insane.
But here's why I like the Eagles. And Nick Foles, in those pressure situations, It's not been bigger than him. Not in one instance. And I think he kind of feels like there is no pressure because there's no expectation. Yeah. There's nothing to lose.
Yeah.
Tom Brady kind of has everything to lose at this point. He really does. There's a tremendous – and he thrives on it.
He does.
He thrives on it. He thrives on being the guy that has the chip on his shoulder. And he's going into a game where he doesn't have a chip on his shoulder. There's nothing to motivate Tom Brady in this game. Nothing. He's already established well beyond that he's the greatest player of all time. That's what really gets Tom Brady is being down by 25 points.
Yeah. They come rolling back, right? Yeah,
it's worse for Tom Brady if he's on top.
Yeah.
There's nothing. He's a guy, and it's been that way his whole entire career. Yeah. So going into this game, you are the favorite. You are Tom Brady. You guys are amazing. You guys are all of this stuff. I don't hear anything that says, I've got something to prove. Last year, it was his mom. His mom having cancer. It was the whole year was
about. He had an emotional tie to it.
There was this chip.
Yeah.
And unless the reporter that bagged on his kid has got him that fired up to win the Super Bowl, as subtle as that may be, and as small a factor as that may be, it plays a huge part in Tom Brady's psyche. Now, Nick Foles, who has had about four or five games now, he's really kind of getting in his groove.
Yeah.
And he, in those pressure situations, has played extremely well. The Vikings were like the top defense all year, and he basically manhandled the Vikings. He had no problem with that.
He did.
And Drew Brees did. Drew Brees came back in the second half and played well, but Nick Foles was up to the task of playing a great defense.
I was
very
impressed with Foles.
And the other thing that is such a huge factor, and a lot of people don't talk about it, Frank Reich is the offensive coordinator. Doug Peterson is the head coach. They have like eons of years of coaching quarterbacks in big time situations. Frank Reich was in four Super Bowls with the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah.
He gets how to put a quarterback in a great position to succeed, and he'll do a wonderful job.
He'll remember me sacking Jim Kelly, by the way.
But he probably will. I'll call him and say, "What?
Frank, man,
what does
Buck?
The word Jason Buck mean to you?" I won't even tip my hand, and you go, "Oh man, he sacked Kelly in the Super Bowl. It was the most iconic play.
The first thing that comes out of his mouth.
Most
man.
Iconic play I've ever witnessed in my life."
Yeah.
So I just see those little subtle things that no one really talks about. And then here's the last thing. Is the Patriots have been living on borrowed time. They've had to come back in a lot of games late in the year and in the playoffs. Again, something
but
that
dude, they just managed to do it.
I know.
They
managed to do it, but there's going to come a time when something's not going to go right. They just can't be that much pressure to handle so many times in a row. Eventually, there's going to be a moment when you go, I threw an incompletion. I threw an interception. Someone got through and sacked me. And that's the last last thing. The Eagles can get pressure on Tom Brady without blitzing. They can get pressure.
Which I think is their big advantage in this game.
So all of those things together, right? There's no emotion in this for me. I don't really care. I'm just looking at this very analytically, and I say, that's why my pick is the Eagles for the Super Bowl.
Yeah, there's no emotion in it for me either. I mean, I agree with that analysis, and I love Philly's defense and that 40 front they run, and that's my style of coaching myself, and I like that much better than the 30 front that New England's running, and I've played in that as well. But think of this, because it is similar to me being on the field against Joe Montana. When they come out and they got
to
face
you
Tom.
You always take back to that moment.
Well, because this is similar. It's similar when you say, Philly, if you come out and New England and Tom Brady has that ball on the last drive and they have got to stop Tom Brady, what is going through Philadelphia's defense's players' minds? when Tom Brady comes out of the field in New England, and they're within.
They're pooping a brick.
They're pooping a brick, man.
Yep.
And you know, and he gets one completion, he gets one first down, and then they start to think,
and here
holy
comes,
crap, here it comes.
We're another victim.
Yeah, yeah. It's going to be awesome to watch this play out. Because I'll tell you, the matchup, the two best teams in the NFL got to the Super Bowl. You know, it's not one of those where Cinderella is going to go in and get whacked by 40 points. This is going to be a great football game. And I'm taking New England because I'm going to beat you, dude. And Tom Brady and Belichick are going to come back. They're going to manage their way through this. Old guys, they're going to overcome. They're going to achieve. They're going to beat they're going to beat Philly.
It's hard to bet against Brady and Belichick. Just hard.
It is. I mean, it's very hard.
The one thing, what you said that I thought about, no matter what the score is in the Super Bowl, you got to watch till the very end.
Oh, yeah.
Because you just don't know what Brady can gonna do. Happen. It's going to be crazy. All right. Yeah. There you have it. Rivals has arrived. Now it's time to go.
Don't you wish you could all be watching the Super Bowl with me and Scott this weekend?
Go watch the Super Bowl. I do.
I do.
We have a lot of fun. All right. We'll see you later.